Day seven.
It's 1:35 in the morning.
It was a long day.
Well, we did something different today because we knew we wanted to stay late tonight. So we went to the park, got there at opening at 9, and stayed till about 2. And then came back to the hotel and sacked out. Just slept all afternoon till about 6 o'clock that we got up. And went back and stayed until about 12:45-ish.
Yeah.
Tonight was extra magic hours at Epcot, so the extra magic hours were from 9 to midnight. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty empty. The day in general was much busier at Epcot today than the first day that we were here. And it was busier at the studios yesterday, too, so I'm wondering if just this upcoming weekend is just more crowded. Epcot had a ton of school groups.
Yeah. That was the main part of the crowding.
Yeah, because a lot of them come obviously from locally. If you lived here, where would you take your, you're going on a field trip, what better place
school
to place go than
fun and educational.
Although expensive, I'm sure. But yeah. Anyway, so there was tons of these school groups around, but we didn't really wait in any long lines. Obviously, mm-hmm. Epcot's not, it's not, I mean, there are quite a few rides, but most of them are really fast loading, so we got fast passes for Test Track and did that tonight, so we didn't really wait for that either. So we got to do all the rides we wanted to do some of them a couple times, and it was a really nice day. The morning portion really went fast, I think, because we spent about 2 hours in the Seas Pavilion, which has all of the different aquatic exhibits. It's huge aquariums, and I think it was probably about 2 hours in there. Time just flew by. That place is amazing, and there were some sections of it that either were different this time or that we never saw. They have some different fish species in there that, not species, but types of fish. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the word is for that. That I've never seen in real life before, and certainly not in that setting. And it was really cool. And then last thing tonight, Josh wanted to take pictures, so I had to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom and I came out into the Seas Pavilion, and I was going to go catch up with him. And there was these two dolphins that were really in a very animated, playful mood and were at this window and just interacting. They were right up, literally pressed up against the window. And I could see, the markings on their bodies. It was really interesting, and they were basically playing with the children. The children would put their hands on the glass and, move their hand along, and the dolphins would follow it. And it was just it was surreal. It was so interesting just watching this. Nobody organizing it. There's no trainer doing anything. It was just this totally spontaneous interaction. That's how I spent my last however long it was, half hour or so of the park, was just interacting with these dolphins. It was really, really cool. But, you want to talk food?
Let's talk food.
Because we did have two reservations today. And
so our lunch was at the Italy Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
Tutto Italia.
Mm-hmm. And it was quite good. We each got an entree and then just, kind of switched halfway through, and I liked what Josh got better than what I got. The what I got was okay, but it was a little bit, it took me a little while to get over it because it looked just horribly unappealing.
It did.
It just had
it was a strange sort of soft pasta that's not with kind of irregular shapes.
It looks like big fat worms.
Yeah, and it's with a pesto sauce, so it was all green.
It was like a plate of green fat worms, and when you picked it up, they wiggled.
Yeah,
it was really disconcerting.
But it was very tasty.
It was pretty tasty. Josh got lasagna, and I liked his better than mine.
Honestly, you can't go wrong with lasagna.
It's very difficult to. And then the dessert, which is, I got this a cannoli, which cannoli is an Italian pastry that I love dearly, but I've only ever in my life gotten two before today that were good, solidly good, real Italian cannolis. One was in Little Italy in New York, And one was at this restaurant 4 years ago. And so I was really excited to have one again, and it was just as good as I remembered. It was totally worth it. A $7 cannoli, but it was worth it. Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah. And I thought our server was pleasantly charming.
Yeah, he was sweet.
Although, guy, Giovanni.
In general, we're talking about this, that, when you go to World Showcase and have all the different pavilions with the people that they employ there are from that country. Mm-hmm. Everyone who works the attractions, the shops, and the restaurants are from that country. And so, each pavilion sort of reflects the personality of its employees. You can't help it. And Italians are just pretty... They're kind of rude, like the French. They're not particularly interested in pleasing you. And I actually found it quite authentic. They were not rude, but just...
No.
They're not terribly concerned with you. They're not going to get their undies in a twist over anything that concerns you.
But Giovanni was nice, but...
Giovanni was very nice.
But, like, the lady at the counter, yeah, when we first came up, she just was... Okay, she took our names and said, "Oh, we'll call you in a minute.
Go sit down.
Okay.
Yeah. And then on the flip side of things, on the other extreme of personalities, mm-hmm, we had dinner in the Japan Pavilion, where, of course, everyone bends over frontwards. Huh?
Yes.
Literally. to make you happy.
Yeah.
And this was a dinner for me that, I would not have chosen to do this, even though I really love the Japan Pavilion, obviously, for obvious reasons. I don't really like Japanese food very much, but it's something that Josh really wanted to do, so what I ordered was okay. I ordered the tempura vegetables, but it just didn't make me feel very good. Something about fried food, even that kind of fried food, just, ugh.
Yeah.
So I kind of, by the time I was done eating it, I highly regretted my choice.
Mm.
Kind of wish I had just, watched.
Rather than eat.
But it was an amazing view.
Yes.
We sat by a window overlooking World Showcase Lagoon.
So it was up on a second floor. And, just beautiful picture window. And I had a little, a selection of things. I had some edamame and a couple, pieces of nigiri, yellowtail, and a sushi roll. Was it spicy tuna sushi roll? And it was all very good,
very tasty.
And I had a little bit of hot sake as well, which I had never had before, and that was neat.
And I tried a piece of sushi.
Yeah, she did. She was very brave, and she...
It almost came back up. It took everything I had to swallow and not put it in the napkin.
Mm.
But at least now, people who continued to just argue with me that I must really like fish, I just haven't tried, enough. I've tried it, okay? I hate it. And I'm going to have to start... maybe I should have taken it. You should have taken a picture.
Maybe.
Prove to people, yes, I've tried it and I hate it. Just shut it.
Really. The funny thing was, there was hardly any fish in that one, but it was enough.
Yeah, but it was fun. We got to talk a little bit to the waitress. They were really, really busy. Extremely busy tonight. So there wasn't a lot of time for chit-chat and stuff. But we got to talk, speak Japanese with, four or five people throughout the trip so far. So
one thing is, my t-shirt became a nice little icebreaker.
Yeah, Josh got this awesome t-shirt that has Mickey Mouse on it. In Japanese, it says, Kano Yumena Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. Which is Japanese for
the famous Mickey Mouse. Yes.
But it's really a cool shirt, and all the Japanese people were, totally digging on it. Yeah. Which brings me to another point, which is not today specific, it's just general, which is that one of the things that, again, this is a superior thing about Disney World, is that the shops have unique things in them.
Yes.
There's stuff that you can only get in this one shop. And there is some homogenization, obviously there's certain things that you can, buy certain shirts or hats or whatever at tons of different places, but there's a lot of other places where it's just, there's only one place, you know, to find that particular item in all of Disney World property. And that this shirt was like that. We only ever saw it in one place.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the Japan Pavilion either. It was over at the studios. But that kind of thing is really cool. It makes you actually really want to go shopping more instead of feel like, eh, seen it all, you know. It was a lot of fun to do that.
Exactly.
Anyway, more anything more about Epcot?
You want to talk about Club Cool?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. One of the other just random things that Epcot has is this place where you can go and sample for free different kind of sodas from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think today the ones they had were Israel, Germany, Italy, Japan, China, and I think there were one or two more.
Yeah, there's one or two more in there.
Mexico.
Something like that. There was Costa Rica, but it was out.
Yeah, they didn't have a Costa Rica one. But anyway, so we
some
tried...
Some of those, I understand, pretty, are mainstays, but...
Yeah, we tried pretty much all of them. And my vote for best one is the Germany one, which was a product that basically is a mix of Coca-Cola and, like, orange. An orange soda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it sort of had, like, an orange crushiness to it, but it was...
Still cola.
It was unique. It was, that was really tasty. Yeah. Like, I would have bought something like that.
I agree. Now... For worst, pretty much hands down to something which is oddly enough called Beverly. The Beverly. Was there a the in there?
Oh, yeah, there's a the. Okay. I think there's a the.
And if there isn't, there ought to be.
It's from Italy.
It's the Beverly. And it's supposed to be like an aperitif of some kind that's supposed
else
to stimulate your aperitif. Appetite. Only... I don't know how it would actually stimulate your appetite, because it tastes awful.
You know, it's one of those things where when you first taste it, you're like, oh, that's bad. And then as the taste continues to progress into your mouth and it deepen into your taste buds, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, man, that's really bad. I'm going to hurl. It just keeps getting worse. You got to immediately follow it with a chaser, because it's just nasty. Yeah.
It's sour plus bitter, and it hangs around for a while.
It was nasty.
Runner-up for worst was the one from Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Which was supposed to be, like, healthy vitamin something.
It's like vitamin
beta
soda.
Or something like that. Except it tastes like Kool-Aid and cough syrup put together. It's just, it does not taste healthy.
I'm telling you, I'm not a fan
of it's bad
the
stuff.
Things that Japanese people eat.
Bad stuff.
Pon.
Yeah, pon is good.
I didn't have any of that.
No.
But that was kind of a cool experience.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a couple things, like, ride-specific that we didn't talk about the first day that we can kind of mention. Spaceship Earth had a big refurbishment since we came last time.
Yeah.
And Spaceship Earth is definitely my favorite ride at Epcot. One of my favorite rides at Disney World. And, as far as the refurb, I give it mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. They updated... the narration, and some people didn't like the new narration. I think it was fine. I liked it okay.
I still prefer the other one. The new one's good, but I still prefer the old one.
The sound is a lot better, so
yeah,
I kind of like that part of it. They changed the music, and the new music is good, but I still miss the old music. Yeah. The old music was so grand,
yeah,
you know, that I kind of miss that, even though the new music is good.
It's good, but it kind of melts into the background.
They updated a lot of the animatronics, a lot of the projections and stuff, and they look terrific.
Yeah, that's true.
Completely great, and added a couple new little scenes and references and stuff, and all that's cool.
The other thing is I think that there's at least a couple scenes that they have simplified.
Yeah.
There's some that they've taken some stuff out, which is...
I can't really remember enough about that. Yeah. I just know that the quality of the animatronics has improved greatly.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, the way Spaceship Earth goes is that the first half of the ride, you're going through history. Then you get to the top of this, the Spaceship Earth is the ride that is contained within the big sphere.
Yeah.
This, the symbol of Epcot, the golf, the giant golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
So the history part of it is the first half, and then you get to the top and you start going backwards and descending. And it used to always be, it definitely, the second half of the ride was always a little bit cheesy. It had a very 80s feel to it. It had a lot less, it didn't really have animatronics.
No,
it had some video screens and it had some still figures.
Yeah, and some scenes kind of like a futuristic city and lights running around the side of the tunnel and stuff like that.
And when you wrote it, you know, I remember when we wrote it 4 years ago, we were like, man, you know, they need to update this. But we still, I mean, I still really kind of liked it. It was a charming way to end things. Mm-hmm. It was charming in its 80s-ness, you know?
Yeah.
But what they've done now is they've basically, apparently, removed all of
everything. It's all just cleared out.
So the end of the, they have these touch screens that are installed on the vehicles now. And the end part is that you answer all these questions and they create a video for you of what your life could be like with future technology. And the video's fine. It's cute. But I don't want to do it on a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to enjoy that going backwards, enjoying all that peacefulness.
Yeah.
And I really hate that that stuff is gone.
Yeah, it draws all your attention in to the vehicle
so
rather than
out. So you're not looking at the
ride.
Yeah, I think that's
a little silly.
Total decrease in enjoyment.
I mean, and they have that whole post-ride Project Tomorrow section. All that stuff that's in the ride vehicle belongs out there, really.
Yeah. So that I wasn't terribly pleased with. It's still a great ride, but I would take what it was before.
Yeah.
Overall, I'd even, you know, even with the, you know, worst sound in the cars and the animatronics that were a little less advanced, I'd rather have that and have the ending the way it was. So I guess all in all, I have to give it mostly thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a blazing, horrible, that was the worst thing I've ever seen thumbs down, but just, I preferred it before.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention about Nemo. The ride here is called The Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Yeah.
Which is a really long title. But it opened like 6 months or so before the submarine voyage, and it uses a lot of the same technology.
Mm-hmm.
And before it opened, it was described in a lot of ways as being like
Nemo Light.
Yeah, Nemo Light, or the poor man's Nemo submarine voyage.
I disagree.
Yeah, it's a great ride. Yeah. It actually has a lot of elements that the submarine voyage is not able to do.
I wish was there.
Yeah, I mean, one particular part there's quite a few parts, but one particular part that stands out is that the part with the anglerfish, which is the little light bulb fish, that horrible, frightening thing with huge teeth. In this one, since you're not obviously underwater in this, it's a kind of a what they call a wet for dry technique where, you know, the set makes it feel like you're underwater, but you're just, you know, in a normal little moving car. But they have a scene with the anglerfish, and the anglerfish is a puppet.
Yeah.
But it's a puppet on one of those, I think it's on a Kuka robotic arm.
Yeah, it's a little armature thing.
And they have one of Marlin, too.
Yeah.
And it moves so fast.
And so smoothly, and the arm it's on is blacked out so effectively that it looks, for all intents and purposes, this thing is swimming all around this chamber and chasing Marlin. It looks so good.
Yeah, I mean, it actually makes you tense. It makes you jump every time you see it. It's really, really well done. And there's a couple other little things. I won't go into all kinds of details, but the ending of it is really fantastic because since it's in, the ride is contained within a big building that houses all these aquariums, the final scene is projections of all the Nemo characters into a real aquarium. So you see the projections of the cartoons along with real fish swimming around. And it's just fantastic. I mean, it looks so good and it adds such a neat dimension to have real fish and sharks. And like we wrote tonight, there was Mr. Ray is in there. And like right behind Mr. Ray is a real stingray. It's just like, it is just a really cool, it's a great little ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that's like, it's that kind of continuous loader.
Yeah,
so
the Omni Mover.
Yeah, it's super fast. You don't have to wait more. Usually we walk on it at all times of day.
Mm-hmm. Plus the queue is vastly superior. It's got an awesome queue.
Well, because it's indoor queue.
And it's just so well themed.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first section is, like, a windy boardwalk sort of thing with sand piled up on the outside. And then you go around a corner, and then you're underwater.
Yeah. And that projection
under the pier.
High up above, like, on the ceiling and just below the ceiling that make, you know, have waves and stuff. That, and boats hang up above your head.
And the side projections of the moonfish making shapes and stuff on the walls. And it's a very involved queue.
It's really a great little ride, yeah. And then we wrote last note of the day, as far as I have to put forth, is we rode Maelstrom, which is a ride that we rode once on a previous trip, and it's one of those things that's so bad that, you know, when we first got off, it was like, okay, what was that? That was a total waste of time. But it's like, it's in our minds over the last 4 years, I feel like it's become legendary.
Yeah.
So much so that we were like, we have to do it again. Uh-huh. You know, it has to be done. And Maelstrom is in the Norway Pavilion, and it's like they're trying to do Pirates of the Caribbean, but with Vikings.
And
it's like 2 minutes long.
And it just does not
work. It's so bad. I mean, you absolutely have no idea. There's no point. There's no theme. There's no purpose. It's just like, here's some Vikings, here's a polar bear, here's some trolls, it's over.
Oh, by the way, and here is an oil rig.
Yes! Because everybody wants to see an oil rig and a ride.
Yeah.
But the thing is, again, the thing that's so addictively great about it is the part. Because this three-headed troll pops out all of a sudden and starts saying these lines that are just like,
you're not welcome here. This is troll country.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's, and then you fall down a backwards waterfall? Waterfall?
Waterfall? Well, it is. That's a backwards waterfall.
Waterfall. That's like a foot long.
Yes.
So it's like supposed to be this big climactic moment, and you're like, oh.
And then you just keep going backwards for some reason past a polar bear.
Yeah.
That's there.
And then you go forward.
And then you turn around after another big troll pops up.
And then you're at an oil rig, and then it's over.
Yeah. Oil rig, and then you go over falls.
Okay, is that how it
works? There's like a brief fall sort of thing, and then you're into
a harbor. Yeah, it's just a bunch of random, you know, mildly Norwegian themes thrown into this ride. But
with this narrator with a very thick accent.
Those people in Norway, the ride operators and stuff, you can't understand a word they're saying. Everything that comes out of my mouth is like the Swedish chef. Everything. They're like, please ride your dirt bird. And you're like, okay, I think that means get on the ride. I don't really know. But I think that I will always go on that ride, as long as it exists, and who knows how long that will be. I will always go on that ride, because it's just, it's like watching a great B-movie.
Yep,
exactly. It's classic.
And I like how after, like, the really weak, the one, you know, exciting part, the narration says something along the lines of, the spirit of the Norwegian people has always been one of adventure. And then it's over.
You know, and it said that line about the Norwegian, you know, people come to Norway seeking adventure. That was like, they said like 50 times in that ride. And then they'd kind of like be like, but what they find is blah, 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 and a bunch of other things you couldn't understand through the guy's accent. But they really just kept repeating the same thing in every different part of this ride. It was like, okay. Well, I'm still seeking the spirit of adventure, not finding it in this ride here, my friend.
Look out for the trolls.
Oh, boy. Anyway, this blog needs to disappear.
Disappear. Good night.